Would please turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. In these particular passages of Scripture, the Hebrew writer begins to explain how superior the priesthood of Christ is in comparison to the Levitical Jewish priesthood. Jesus is superior to the whole Jewish system. But particularly and especially, he is superior in his priesthood. He has an everlasting priesthood. He was called of God. Now, there's a lot of things that Paul begins, if it's Paul or the Hebrew writer, begins to express concerning this priesthood. He begins in these particular passages in verse 14 and actually continues a very lengthy discussion of the priesthood of Christ on into the 10th chapter or so. And I'm not going to deal with all of those various aspects of his priesthood, but there was a rigid guideline that God had clearly laid out in his holy word that a person had to meet these stipulations, had to meet these requirements before a person could be labeled or considered a priest of God. Now, if any of these qualifications were not met, there's no way that we could ever label anybody or consider anybody a priest of God. And actually, if you look through these passages of Scripture, it's clear to me that Jesus met all the regulations and all the requirements of the priesthood. Every single stipulation, every single requirement, every aspect of the guidelines of the priestly obligations and the priestly responsibilities, Jesus Christ of Nazareth was completely and fully able to meet the requirements. He met every one of them. And so the Hebrew writer was discussing all of this in comparison to the Levitical priesthood. And as we sang the song just a little while ago about what Christ has done for us, we love the Lord for what he has done for us. But do you realize that he is doing something for you right now? There are four principal aspects of Christ's offices that he has held. He held the office of prophet or teacher while he was here on the earth. He holds the office as priest, and of course he holds the office as king. He ascended to glory and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and now he intercedes for us. He occupies a seat of priesthood, a seat of advocacy, a seat of intercession. Now, I don't know if that's important to you, but it's important to me. Here in these passages, the Hebrew writer says, we have a great high priest. Now, each one of us that have been saved, we need a great high priest. We have one available to us. We go through various trials and tribulations and troubles, and we sin, we come short of the glory of God, we do bad things, we do right things, we have problems that develop in our lives. We need somebody to intercede for us, somebody to minister for us in holy things. If it wasn't for the priesthood of Jesus Christ, our service unto God would not be acceptable. We need him to handle the holy things of God for us. Now, he lives in us, and we try to work for him. Once you get saved by the grace of God, you become his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so you strive to work for him. You strive to serve him. But our service is only accepted in the beloved. So we love the Lord for what he has done, but we need to love the Lord for what he is doing for us here and now. When you this morning, when you got out of bed, Jesus began to minister on your behalf. As you came to church this morning, Jesus began to continue to minister on your behalf. As we began to sing the songs, to worship him, Jesus was ministering in our behalf. As I try this morning to preach to you the Word of God, the very moment I began, Jesus ministered on my behalf. Actually, He ministered on the behalf of us all. He is perpetually and constantly doing things for us today, here, and now. And He does those things for us in the office of His priesthood. I begin reading in verse 14. Seeing then, now the reason he said seeing then is he had brought up this subject earlier and he was returning to it. Look over in the second chapter of Hebrews just for a moment. I'll read a couple of verses there. Verse 17, he says, wherefore in all things it behooved us. In other words, we needed this. It behooved us. We needed this. We needed a great high priest. We need Him ministering for us. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. Jesus Christ is a high priest that is like us. He's just like us. He went through temptation. He went through trial. He went through heartache. He went through suffering. He went through death. Jesus Christ was a man. And He experienced the human experience. He experienced everything that we would experience. He was just like us. With the exception of sin. We needed that. We needed a high priest that could relate to us. That had gone through the same kind of experiences that we went through. Why? He says in verse 17, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He also began chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Who is the high priest of our profession? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. All right, so he told us, he began to inform us of our need of a high priest, how that he had to be like us, how that through being like us, he would be a merciful, faithful high priest. Yet he was without sin. And we're going to read about that in these passages in chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Seeing then, he had introduced this subject, he goes back to it, that we have a great high priest. I want you to underscore the word great. We have a great high priest. I want you to underscore the word we. We. Christianity. Though Jesus is a mediator for all of mankind, that all of mankind could be saved, He is specifically a high priest for His people. See, the priesthood was situated. It was organized, it was established within the circumference of a religion. It was established within the circumference of God's people. God had chosen a people, and within that people, He established a priesthood. You can look back in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus is like a guideline, a manual for the priesthood. It's called the book of Leviticus, the Levitical priesthood, the requirements, stipulations, the guidelines for the priesthood that was established within the people of Israel. Within the kingdom of Jesus Christ, within the kingdom of God, God established a priesthood, and that priest is Jesus. Amen. And we, the church, we, the Christians, we that have been saved by the grace of God, we that have been born again of His Spirit, we that have been regenerated and washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have a great high priest. Amen. This priesthood, this work that the great high priest is doing. He is ministering for His people. For the saved.
for the redeemed, amen. We that have been called by the Holy Ghost, we that have been saved by His grace, we that are out there striving to advance the cause of Jesus Christ, we that are walking circumspectly in the world, we that claim to be Christians and have a profession of faith, we have a great high priest. His name is Jesus. So underscore the word we. Christianity has a great high priest. Great here emphasizes and puts importance upon his dignity. Great. Jesus is great. He's greater than Aaron. Aaron was a brother of Moses. Aaron was a good man. For the most part, he had some flaws here and there. You know, he didn't make that golden calf and cause the people to sin, and they worshiped that. And there was a bit of irony connected with his excuse when he tried to explain to Moses what had happened. He said he just threw all that stuff, that golden stuff, in the fire, and out popped this cow. Sounds like some of the excuses I've heard from people today. Did it just happen? But Jesus is much greater than Aaron and all of his descendants within the Levitical priesthood. Amen. The angels announced at his birth, he shall be great. He's great in his redemption. He's great in his goodness. He's great in his kindness. He's great in all that he does. He is the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. I'm telling you, Jesus is the Almighty, and he is great. I believe these passages that talk about the greatness of Jesus tell us that there are none, nor ever will be any greater than Jesus. He is the greatest. Great high priest. So this talks about his deity. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. What has this great high priest done? That is passed into the heavens. Okay, we Christianity and have a great in his dignity. Have a high priest that is passed into eternity. Passed into the very heaven of heavens. The place that the Holy of Holies represented. Jesus Christ, our high priest, is ministering for us at the very throne room of God. Think about that for a moment. Do you guys realize what went on and what goes on in heaven? Why, it was the God of gods that created this world and all things therein. That place where he ministers is the source of our life. Without God, we would not be sustained this morning. Without that place and the place and the things that go on there, you would not be alive today. Think about that. Think about that. That's the place where our great high priest ministers for us. He's there in heaven in the place of eternity. But it's just not anybody. Look, that is passed into the heavens. Notice the kind of quality of priesthood we have. He is the Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. I might get back to that just in a moment. Let's read the rest of these passages. How should we respond to all of this? What should be the outcome? What should this encourage us to do? Us having a great high priest in heaven ministering for us who is the Son of God. Now, because of who he is, he can get some stuff done. I mean, he's got some pull, doesn't he? He's the Son of God. He and the Father are one. And he has influence. He can influence the Father on your behalf. You think about that. Sometimes we doubt or we question or we wonder whether or not God can orchestrate things. whether or not he can cause things to come to pass, or he can put things in place for us to benefit us, or to help us, or to bless us, or to guard us, or to protect us. I'm telling you, Christ is quite capable to see into it that all these things that we stand in need of are provided for. He is the Son of God. What should be our response? Our response should be, we need to hold fast. We need to hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. All right? We have a quality of high quality high priest. We have one who is able to be touched. He went through all the experiences of humanity. He is accessible. He will provide mercy. This ought to keep us from apostasy. We have direct access. Now, I don't want to talk to you this morning about the priesthood of the believer. I believe in that, don't you? That means that each one of us have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. In other words, we don't go through some other means. We don't go through a church. We don't go through a man or a person here on earth. That every believer has direct access to God through Jesus Christ. There's one mediator. Paul made that really clear when he was writing to the young minister Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. He says there's one God and there's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. We have access direct. Everybody say direct. I want to make sure you get this. Say direct. Come on, say it louder. Direct access to God. That's what the priesthood of the believer means. We have direct access unto God. Martin Luther came to that realization through the study of the scriptures. And he said, and he understood that he had direct, that every believer had direct access to God through Jesus Christ. And people, we need to be utilizing that direct access. We need to go to God through Jesus. But that's not what I'm talking about. I know the scriptures talk about there's a priesthood within Christianity. The Bible talks about we're going to be priests and kings. And that just means we're ministering in spiritual things and holy things. But this great high priest entered beyond the veil. Jesus Christ entered into heaven for us. He ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father to minister and help us throughout our Christian walk. He's great. Do you consider your high priest great? He's great in his dignity. He's great in his authority. He's great in his splendor. Jesus Christ is great in his deity. Jesus Christ, our high priest, our great high priest, is none other than God himself. The second person of the Godhead. Nothing was created without him. He has not only influence, but he has power. Jesus Christ is great in power. Before he left the church, in the last chapter of Matthew, he told the church, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Does Jesus have all power? That's how great our high priest is. He is both just and justifier of every believer. How great is our high priest? Well, we that have been saved by the grace of God, we've experienced the greatness of his power. He's great in his power to save. Isn't he great in his power to save? To transform us. He is the great light of the world, Brother JT, as you taught this morning. He can take a blind person, spiritually blind, and make them see. He's able to transform a person from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He can make you who are lost and in your sins found in Christ Jesus, walking in righteousness and no longer serving self, Satan, and sin, but serving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how great He is. I'll tell you how great He is. He's so great that you may have come here today with no expectation, no anticipation. Just coming here perhaps because of a friend or somebody invited you or just happened to stumble into our service today. But our Savior is so great, and His death was so great on the cross of Calvary. His resurrection was so great. His gospel is so great and so powerful. You who came in today lost and in your sins can lead, changed, and saved by the grace of God. Yes. Yes. God's people, when they come together and they offer up, see, if we have a priest, then we're supposed to offer up sacrifice. Amen? If we have a great high priest, I mean, you're supposed to offer up sacrifice. And we offered up maybe sacrifice and taking up the offering. Perhaps you sang a little harder than usual. And with your voice and with your lips and with your heart and your mind, you offered up a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. But we also, through the course of the preaching of the gospel and through the course of coming together and uniting together and assembling together in His name, we offer up a sacrifice of service unto the Lord, where we are willing to be used of the Lord, where we want to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ prosper, where we want to see people saved. We come together, and while the preacher is preaching, we ask that the Lord demonstrate His greatness. Listen, there was a great atonement made for you. Amen. To cleanse you from your sins. He is a priest that offered up Himself as a sacrifice. The Bible says He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So we have a great high priest that is able to transform and change people's lives. What does it mean that Jesus is a priest? What does that really mean? I think the term signifies that He's one who ministers in holy things. See, when we come to try to serve the Lord and worship a holy God, we need some help. We need leadership. The church needs headship. We need one governing over us. You know, Aaron's sons in the priesthood, in the Levitical priesthood, when they began to try to do their part, follow in their father's footsteps and minister as a priest in holy things, they mingled strange fire and immediately were killed. They died trying to serve in the priestly office. I don't know about you, but you go ministering, you go dealing with holy things, and if you don't do it right, you could die. I mean, they even would tie a string around a priest's foot when he went into the holy place, because if he messed up in there, got things out of order, he could die. Right? And if he died back there, they couldn't go in there and get him, so they'd take the rope and pull him out. Listen, I'm telling you, we're dealing with holy things of God. We need a little help. Ananias and Sapphira in the church thought they didn't need any help. They lied to the Holy Ghost and they died at church. Listen, we're dealing with God. A holy God. And it scares me when people think that they don't need help ministering in holy things. Doesn't that worry you? That bothers me. It scares me. Because I tell you, if we develop an attitude where that we put ourselves equal with our great high priest, we are committing a degree of blasphemy that could cause great harm not only to our generation but to the generations to come. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. So, we need headship. We need lordship. He ministers in holy things and we need His help. We need direction. We need heavenly influence as a people, as a church. I know of a lot of churches right now that are looking for pastors. I don't know what's happened to churches, but a lot of them are just depending on their own ideas on how to call a pastor. But I believe in a Holy Ghost directed church leadership, a Holy Ghost placed pastor. In other words, the Holy Ghost will work with the church. The Holy Ghost will work with a man. I'm not for this, you know, sending out applicants, sending in resumes. I'm not saying that the man shouldn't meet qualifications. He needs to meet every biblical qualification in this book. Amen? Amen. Not only that, but I'm of the opinion that there needs to be some accreditation that has been given under the influence of the elders at an ordination. There needs to be a degree of accreditation there before he assumes the position as pastor. But the problem today is people are looking at carnal things in the calling of pastor. You know, a church calling 5 or 6 men to pastor at one time, the Lord's just not in that. I'm sorry. The Lord simply is not in that. And many of the churches are suffering. Many churches are suffering today because they have chosen their own pastor rather than letting the Holy Ghost choose for them. We need an administrator. The Bible says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. So we need this administrator, and we have one. Praise God. Listen, I'm not like the deist. God didn't spin the world and step back. He's actively involved in the things going on in the world, and he especially is actively involved in the church. You read about in the book of Revelation, 3rd chapter, like the church at Thyatira. They had problems in their church, and he said, you better straighten this thing out. And he was actively involved. He knew about every work. He knew about everything that was going on in that church. Does Jesus know everything that's going on in this church? He said, I have given a space of repentance for that Jezebel who had caused my people to commit degrees of whoredom, worshiping idols. And he said, I will throw her in a bed of affliction. He said, and I will hold every single person at church accountable. Read it in 3rd chapter of Revelation. Listen, God knows what's going on in his church. He is the administrator. He is the head. He is the governor. He's in control of his church. He is its great high priest. He can heal us. He can help us. He can minister for us, and he does minister for us when we come to him. So Christianity in general has a great high priest. His church has a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, into eternity itself. He's there making intercessions for us, sprinkling blood for us. He's there at the mercy seat for us, atoning for us and helping us. There's 4 things that I want to bring to your attention hurriedly. First of all, I want us to look at the dignity of his person. Look in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. He is the Son of God. He is heir of all things. He is not only heir of all things, but he is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1, he says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. So he was coming to some conclusion after saying all these other things. And he says, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of what? majesty, power. He has sat down to the right hand of majesty in the heavens. Notice the dignity of the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He has sat down as our high priest at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Secondly, I want us to notice the purity. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is without spot. He is without blemish. He is holy. He is separate from sinners. He's purity in His nature. Why would you want to go to a man who sins just like you to intercede for you, when you can go to Jesus who knew no sin? Yes, He understands sin. He was tempted in all points as we. But the Bible says here in these passages of the fourth chapter of Hebrews, He was without sin. See, the Levitical priesthood is inferior to the Christian priesthood. There are things like sinful man that's in those priesthood. Oh, but Jesus Christ is in a whole class by Himself. He is sinless, and He intercedes on our behalf as a sinless Savior, but fully acquainted with the temptations, the trials, the burdens, the troubles of sin. The Bible says that even when He was at some of His lowest moments, He cried in anguish. He wept. He spent days in supplication and in bitter tears, the Bible says. He understands our tears. He understands our suffering. He knows what it means to lose a loved one. He knows what it means to have a loved one sick. He knows what it means to go through trials and problems. He knows what it means to be poor. He knows what it means to have problems in your life and have difficulties with your circumstances. Jesus Christ knows. He knows. Thirdly, I want us to not only notice His dignity of His person, the purity of His nature, but the efficiency of His sacrifice. Look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. His sacrifice. He offered up one offering. It's all He needed. The other priests had to offer up sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Jesus offered up one sacrifice for all. One time. And the Bible says every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice that couldn't take away sin. But in Hebrews 10 and 12 it says, but this man, after he offered up one sacrifice for sin forever. Oh man. We have a great high priest who offered up one sacrifice forevermore. Listen, you're either saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ or you'll never be saved. You either come His way or no way. Amen. There's not five or six or ten different ways. It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth who died on the cross and resurrected on the third day. It's His way or no way. You won't go to heaven unless you come His way. He said, I am the way, and He's the only way. He offered up one sacrifice, and after He did that, He sat down at the right hand of God. Lastly, I want to point out the unchangeableness of His priesthood, the perpetuity, not only the dignity of it, the purity, the efficiency, but the perpetuity of it. Notice in Hebrews 7 and 24, He said, and this man Jesus, because He continueth forever. Jesus Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. He resurrected on the third day, and He lives forevermore. He was, and He always will be. Because He has an eternal, everlasting, perpetual life. He has a perpetual, unchangeable, everlasting priesthood. And this man, Hebrews 7 and 24, because he continueth forever. Do you believe Jesus lives forever? Because he lives forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is in the book of Romans, where it talks about Jesus Christ living for us. Him being resurrected for us. I would have loved to have been there at Bethany when he blessed his church. You know, and as he was blessing them, he ascended on a cloud to glory. And according to the book of Psalms, the angels began to shout and praise the Lord and said, "Lift up ye gates, O ye heavens, and be lifted up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he sits there today making intercessions for you and making intercessions for me. And no matter what you go through in life, he is able to deliver you. He is able to save you. In the book of Romans, it talks about how that Jesus Christ, if he could sustain, if he can save us in his death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. If you want to turn over there, one of my favorite passages, Romans 5 and 10. He basically was talking about the death of Jesus. Did the death of Jesus save you? Did him dying on the cross save you from your sins? Did him dying on the cross save you from eternal hell? He said, how much more can his life, him being resurrected and alive and seated at the right hand of the Father, how much more can his life preserve you, save you, and deliver you? I know a lot of you are going through some very trying and difficult times. Have you ever just gone to your high priest? He's great. He is great. And let him intercede on your behalf. I don't know what you need, but God does. Jesus is there to minister on your behalf. He wants to bless you. The high priest would come out during the Day of Atonement once a year and bless his people. Have you ever got a blessing from the great high priest? He can come and bless your life today. We have a great high priest. He's there in heaven today. And whatever your problem is, whatever is going on in your life, he, by his power, is able to fix it. And will fix it. Perhaps in time, but we know he'll fix it in eternity. I want to ask you to stand to your feet this time. I want us to sing a verse of some song. If there's somebody here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you don't know anything about the new birth, you don't know about this advocacy, you don't know, isn't he our advocate with the Father? Amen. He sits on a seat of advocacy. He intercedes for us. I mean, he pleads our case. And I got to think about that. You know, he's not like lawyers today that try to get you off. He goes in and says, yeah, they're guilty, but I can take care of them. I can protect them. I have a sacrifice for them. Take this on their behalf. I'll make sure they're delivered from this. He intercedes for us. He is our advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him as the great high priest, you need to get saved today. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. Be born of his Spirit. Know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to him today. Be saved before it's everlasting, eternally too late. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come to him, believing that he is and believing that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us sing.